Hallelujah. Well, good morning to good morning to everyone and happy Father's Day. So if you're sitting beside a father, say to the person, happy Father's Day. That's not good enough. No, that's not good enough. Because today we will honor fathers. Today we will understand the value of fathers. And today we will celebrate God for the gift of fatherhood. And I would like you to concentrate and pay very close attention to what you will hear today, because you would not hear this quite often. A lot of people are scared to even talk about what I'll be talking about this morning, because we now live in a world that is so sensitive to truth and reality, and it has come to a point where if you really want to speak God's word as it is, it's almost as if you will have to walk on eggshells. But this morning, we are in the house of God. And Paul says that the house of God is the pillar of truth. How many of you know that verse? Let me see your hand. Paul says to Timothy, he says, the house of God is the pillar of truth. In other words, if you are seeking for truth, then go to the house of God. That means that if the house of God cannot tell you truth, then we are all finished. Because now we go to university to learn. We go on the internet to learn. We have parents and cultures to learn from. And that's all fine if you learn the right thing. But ultimately, God's eternal purpose is for you and I to learn from his word in his church. It is not just the pillar, it is also the foundation. And if you bear witness with me, if you've read Matthew 7 at any point in your life, you would have noticed there were two buildings in Matthew 7. One of it was built on the sand, and the other one was built on the rock. Then one day the rains came, the storm blew, the wind hit and beat upon both houses. What did it say? The one on the sand crumbled, the one on the rock stood. Why did it stand? Because it was founded upon the rock. In other words, foundation is the greatest deliverance weapon. Let me explain what I mean. If the house did not fall, it did not fall because of its what? Foundation. So it doesn't matter what beat against the house. Wherever the storm came from, physical, spiritual, it doesn't matter. Foundation is powerful enough to resist every form of attack. In other words, if I want to make you, or if I want to program your life not to be able to resist attacks in any form or shape, all I need to do is to affect your foundation. And this morning, I believe in my heart that you will hear a foundation message. I really want to thank our pastor, Pastor Fola, and our mommy. Thank you so much. This is amazing. I was telling one of my members, I said, pre-COVID and all through COVID, this will be my first trip again to Love Assembly. And it's always an honor and a privilege. And I've often told Pastor, if he needs me, I come, except for exceptional reasons, which are quite rare. I had two services in London today, but I canceled them to be here. Some other person will be speaking for me. One in London this morning, and then one in the evening in Essex, Colchester. But God is faithful. So this morning, I want to talk about what I call the mystery of fatherhood. Say after me, the mystery of fatherhood. Say it again, the mystery of fatherhood. Say it one more time, the mystery of fatherhood. Let me start by reading for you. I'm going to use a lot of versions this morning. If the Tinker Department, if you don't get the version I'm using, you can put up any other version of choice, okay? Psalms 82 and verse 5 from the Living Bible. Now, pay close attention as I lay my foundation. Psalm 82 and verse 5, the Living Bible. it says, but you are so foolish and so ignorant because you are in darkness. All the foundations of society are shaken to the core. All the foundations of society are what? Shaken to the core. What is the result of that? Darkness, foolishness, and ignorance. Because foolishness and ignorance produces darkness, which destroys the foundation. In other words, that verse, and I love the way Living Bible puts it, it makes us to understand that ignorance can be a very costly error. And it can even lead to foundations of society. Therefore, society has foundations. Like a building, there is a foundation. And a foundation or the components of a foundation do not have the same relevance to a building as other components of the building. For example, if armed robbers smash your windows, you can replace them. If, say, a storm blows off your roof, you can replace it. If something breaks the tiles on your floor or your flooring, you can replace it. But woe is you if something destroys your foundation, because foundations are not are non-replaceable. And so in society, there are certain things that constitute the walls or the windows or the roof. We do them, we love them, we practice them, but somehow there are other aspects of society that have to do with the foundation. Anytime you encounter a foundational principle of society, you need to understand that if you touch it, society crumbles. And that's one of the foundations we are going to look at this morning. Fathers, all through the ages, are generally the least most appreciated member of the family. Let me say that again. Fathers are usually the least most appreciated members of the family. You don't even need to look any further. Look at Mother's Day. You know, they've done this consumer thing, research, a survey they did in America, and they compared how much people spend on Mother's Day compared to how much they spend on fathers on Father's Day. If you see the figures, you'll pity fathers. And because today is Father's Day, we must honor fathers. And I understand when you say fathers, and let me make a difference here, because a lot of times we are very complicated as human beings. Today is not Husband's Day, it is Father's Day. Because at times people don't differentiate husband and father. He may be your husband, but he's a father to the children. And so even if certain challenges are between you and the husband, it has nothing to do with him as a father. Because when you say fathers and you start speaking on how to strengthen fathers, some of us, because of our experiences with men, we start rejecting it in our spirit. I didn't say husband day. And when I say father, I'm referring to your father, your younger brother who will be a father, your son who will be a father tomorrow. So if you're rejecting the fact that someone is trying to project fatherhood as a positive thing in society, then you're rejecting your own son that came out of your womb. You're rejecting your uncles. You're rejecting your brother. You're rejecting every man in your life. Because at times we listen, but we don't hear what is being said. We hear what our experience is telling us. How did Father's Day even come into being? It was never before. But a certain lady, Sonora Dodd was from Spokane in Washington in the U.S., and got a little bit concerned that all the time mothers were celebrated, Mother's Day, Mother's this, Mother's that, and there was nothing for fathers. And the mother died giving birth to their fifth child. And the father single-handedly raised five of them. And she said, no, we have to celebrate fathers. So she started a campaign, society, community, into the churches, and it was adopted. And the first Father's Day was celebrated on the 19th of June, 1910, which was the day of the birth date of her father, Mr. Dot. It went on until in 1972, it was now made a law in America, and then the third Sunday of June became universally accepted as what? Father's Day. It was a child that fought for fathers to be recognized. And from the time she started her battle and the first Father's Day in 1910, it took how many years? Up to 1972 for society to officially recognize the value of fathers. And let me say this. When I talk about the importance of fathers, I don't start with the Bible. Because a lot of people already have a biased mind against the Bible. So if you start with what the Bible says, you will encounter cognitive problems in people's minds because they already will reject it. So I go to psychologists, child psychiatry, and use the areas of science that actually tell us about who fathers are and the value of fathers. And I'm going to show you today that most of society's problems come from what you're about to hear. So Stanford University published an article, and let me read a line of that article to you. They said, you know, Stanford University is one of the top universities in the world. They said the greatest social tragedy of the last 30 years has been the collapse of fatherhood. It's not a religious, I said, the university published an article, looked at statistics and data and surveys, and concluded that the greatest tragedy in the last 30 years, it's not poverty, it's not sickness, it is the collapse of fatherhood. That's not the Bible. This is University of Stanford. A review in Acta Pediatrica, that's a peer-reviewed journal, one of the most powerful journals that they do a lot of publications on psychology, psychiatry, and all those kind of stuff. They said, listen to their conclusion, active and regular engagement of fathers has positive outcomes on the behavioral and cognitive development of their children. Active fatherhood has positive outcomes in the behavioral and cognitive development of children. Active, listen to this one, active father figure plays a prime role in reducing behavior problems in boys and psychological problems in young women. That means if I introduce fatherhood into an equation, it will reduce behavioral problems in boys and reduce psychological problems in girls. Without any prescription. No antidepressant prescription. Just introduce fatherhood. Therefore, based on Acta Pediatrica, if I take out fatherhood from the equation, I increase behavioral problem in boys and I increase psychological problem in girls. Like I said, I'm not yet in the Bible. I'm looking at what objective research globally is telling us. And what amazes me, how can research be saying such a thing? Yet, society considers fathers as if they have no value. A Swiss government report. This is not the Swiss government. They sponsored a study. And it says, listen to this. The most critical factors affecting a child's future church attendance as an adult was the father's attendance. Swiss government study. They commissioned a study to look at religious attendance. They took all denominations, Protestants, Catholics, they put all together, and they concluded that the most significant factor that will determine if you will be going to church is if your father was going to church. And for those of you who come from families where daddy was going to church, you know it, all of you. And it is ingrained in your system. Even when you go anywhere else, something is in you telling you about church attendance. The Baptist Press study came out with some very powerful statistics. The Baptist Press study did a study of thousands of families and concluded, listen, number one, assuming that in the family, nobody's a Christian yet, right? No one is a Christian yet. Then they said, if the first person in the family to become a Christian is the child, then there's a 3.5% chance that the whole family will follow and become Christians. What's the percentage? Almost nothing. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, then it goes up to a 17% chance that the entire family will become Christian. If the child is the first, 3.5%. If the mother is the first, 17%. However, if the father is the first to become a Christian, 93% chance that the entire family will become Christian. In other words, get the father saved, and the likelihood that the whole family is saved is very high. Let me give you the last one. This was MSNBC. You know that it's like CNN, Fox, we watch American TV. You would have come across MSNBC. It's one of the liberal left-leaning television TV sets. And by left-leaning, I mean for them to come to this conclusion tells you God is working something. And see what they said. They said, father engaged teenagers are less likely to engage in risky sexual activities. In other words, when teenagers have an involved father in their life, they are less likely to engage in risky sexual activities. And the same media house concluded that the influence of fathers in this domain is twice that of mothers. That means your father's presence in your life is twice more likely to stop you from engaging in risky sexual behavior than a mother's presence. All this, I've told you what universities have said, peer review journal has said, governments have said, and even left-leaning media houses have said. All of them have concluded one thing, the importance of fathers. There's a mystery attached to fatherhood. And it's a powerful divine mystery. And one of the things that even Satan knows is to attack fatherhood, because the moment you attack fatherhood, society cannot stand. Do you know in all the names of God, I call him El Shaddai, call him Elohim, call him Adonai, you can't be El Shaddai as a human being. That would be trouble. You can't be Yahweh as a human being. The only name of God he shares with human beings is Father. The only name God has that he shares with human beings is Father. When you look at the gun and knife crime and all those things you see on TV, I hope you know most of those boys, one of the common denominator amongst most of them is absent fathers. That's why I told you, where there's no father figure, behavioral problems in boys increase. And so rather than, and that's why at times I wonder how well governments reason. The thing is, the systems of the world are really not trying to solve problems. They pump in money in things that support their own agenda. I must be, because if you know what I've just told you, then the focus of the fight against gun and knife crime should be more on fatherhood. Not on programs where the teenagers can say change of mind. They should get experts to come and tell them carrying gun is not nice. You know, you're using a knife. You know that the most significant factor is absent father. How can you come to solve it and fatherhood is not part of the solution? Because you don't want fatherhood, because it will bring a traditional structure that you're fighting. Because then you'll have to accept that the traditional family structure is the panacea to crime globally. If you have to accept that, then you will accept the Judeo-Christian worldview of family. And they don't want that. So they'll put millions of pounds into community projects. It doesn't work. Just to accept that there's a structure God established with a father and a mother and children. They cannot accept that one. They won't sponsor it. If you like, go and make a proposal. Apply for grant or funding. And put it that you want to fight knife and gun crime by doing X, Y, Z for fathers. You will not get a penny. Okay. Let's look at some statistics here. In the UK, it's similar, but let's look at the US because the US government has done a lot of that. And all of these are from government departments in the US. US Census Bureau, Department of Health and Safety, Corrections Department, and all of that. So I'm just going to read them and listen to these statistics. They are very powerful. It says 43% of US children live without their father. It's higher for black families. Much higher for black families. Almost more than about 70% of black children in America are born by single parents. No father. Number two, 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Number three, 80% of rapists are motivated with displaced anger coming from fatherless homes. So if you take 80% of the men who commit rape, if you take all the men who commit rape, 80% have anger from displaced fatherhood. The remaining 20% that can be normal people with fathers. Remember, statistics doesn't say all, but 80% is a very high number. So if you want to reduce rape by 80%, what do you do? If you want to, oh my God. If you want to reduce runaway children by 90%, what do you do? Simple. We know the solution, but we don't want to do it. Because to accept that solution, you'll be accepting a Judeo-Christian worldview of family. And there is the problem. They don't want to accept it. And all the solutions implementing all over the world, I can guarantee it cannot work because psychology tells you it cannot work. Religion tells you it cannot work. Culture tells you it cannot work. What is that thing that culture says cannot work? Religion says cannot work. Science and research says cannot work. That politicians are telling us can work. Who is even a politician? A bunch of confused people who don't know where they're going. God never called us to be led by politicians. He called us to be led by leaders. Can you be a politician? Yes. But you should be a leader who is a politician. You should not be a politician who is a leader. Error. The problem we face is that we have politicians who are trying to lead. No. You should be a leader who is a politician. You should not be a politician who is a leader. The politics must not come before your leadership. And for those of us who, all over Africa, I tell them, I've done conferences on this thing. I tell them, when it comes to elections, look for leadership. Vote for leaders who are politicians. Don't vote for politicians who are leaders. Don't make that mistake. All over Africa, same situation. So I continue. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 71%. So if I want to reduce teenage pregnancy amongst girls, get fatherhood functional. Next one, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. I don't know if you understand what I'm reading. Continue. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions have no father. 85% of youth in prison grew up without a father. That was from the Texas Department of Corrections. That was 1992. I don't know what the figure is now. 85% of youths in prison, no father. What are we trying to do to our world? If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? The foundation of society is fatherhood. You see, if you want to destroy society, destroy families. If you want to destroy families, destroy fatherhood. That's the equation. So if I destroy fatherhood, I don't need to touch families. I don't need to touch society. Just focus on fatherhood. Destroy it. That destruction will automatically ripple into destruction of families, which will automatically ripple into destruction of society. It's an equation with a ripple effect. You don't need to attack all three. No, just target the father. And that's what has happened. 11 verse 3, I love expanded version. Expanded version says, when the foundations of stable society collapse, what can good people do? That's why you see the statistics. What can all the good therapies do? What can all the good government projects do? If the foundation, which is fatherhood, collapses, what will your good policies accomplish? Nothing. It even says, what will the righteous do? Nothing. Today we are launching a book on fatherhood. You don't have an idea of the importance of fatherhood. Psalm 68 verse 5 says, God in his holy house is a father to those who have no father. You see why I love God? He's God. God says he's a father to those who have no father, because God recognizes that every human being needs a father. So for those who don't have, for various reasons, maybe the father is of late or XYZ, God even says, I'm ready to substitute myself. One of the ways he does that is that he will provide father figures in your life, because God intervenes in various ways. But the point of reading that verse is for you to know that even God sitting in heaven says, I don't want people to be without fathers. So I'm ready to be what? To become a father to the fatherless. You know, let me surprise you, because you may be asking yourself, how did we get here? How did we get here? When psychology was in its early days, in the early days of studying on families, see where the problem, because the problem, psychology contributed to the problem. They did a lot of studies on the importance of parents on children and parenting. But what was amazing is that most of those studies, they did not involve the fathers. In one particular study on parenting, a survey, they interviewed, to them, it was parents and children. They interviewed 2,000 parents. Not a single father was in that interview. And they came up with conclusions. Because as of that time, they did not see the importance of fathers in raising of children. The focus was on the mother, on the mother, on the mother. So they did that. So early studies on this thing contributed to us thinking fathers had no role. But from the 70s, the pendulum began to swing. And that is why studies have now come up and I've shown you some of the conclusions of the studies. The next problem, and when I say problem, I'm not saying they're not absolute problems. It's not like it's a must. I'm telling you contributing factors. The next contributing factor has been the social welfare system. Especially in America, women were somehow incentivized not to have a man in the house. Because when there's no man in the house, you make more money from the state than when there's a man in the house. So it became like an incentive. A policy that was supposed to make people stabilize and rather unite as a family, rather created the opposite effect. Whereby it was more beneficial to you financially to kick out the man in the house than to keep him. Because then you make more money. Same thing here. When you're filling some of those forms, are you single? Yes. Just put it there that you have a man. The income goes down. So in a way, we have incentivized people to throw away fathers just to make more money. The third thing that has contributed as well in some cases is the family court system. I told you I'm going to say things this morning that a lot of people cannot say because they are scared. You are not scared, man of God. You are not serious. The family court system, it is recently that it has started to really be sensible. Before, it was very, very biased against fathers in court. Very much biased. It's even recently that custody has started being granted to some fathers. Before, it was not possible. Go up and come down, you won't get it. Even if you can prove that the woman is the trouble. Nope. Even in the legal system, a man is 6 times more likely to go to jail over the same crime than a woman. So even before the courts, there's already a difference. And it's okay, no problem. Because at the end of the day, we need to defend the interests of men and women. But the point is, when you factor in Section 55, which is the best interest of the child, that becomes paramount. It becomes which of these people secures the best interest of the child. We shouldn't, and as a result now, it has painted men and fathers as the problem in every situation. And that's a lie. Because, of course, last weekend, I asked them in the church in London, Pastor, I said, how many of you have ever sat down with your father and says, Papa, tell me your side of the story? How many? You have sat down, because generally it's the mother's side that you hear. It's the mother's side that brought you up. But you have never sat down. Say, Papa, this is what I was told. What really happened? Nobody does that. I know men for who they are. They will keep them quiet and die in their pain and conclude that my father is a monster. How do you know that? I was presented a case the other day. I feel very terrible. When you know the limits of, because at the end of the day, let me put it this way, you have to be careful. The worst thing you can do to a child is to break that child's relationship with the father. That's the greatest form of child abuse. Because I've read from you, which means what you have done to that child, you have made it more likely for that child to end up in prison. You have made it more likely for that child to be pregnant. You have made it more likely for that child to be involved in drugs. Those are the things you do. When you think you can use children as a weapon against your spouse, whether it's man or woman, what you're doing is that you're destroying the life of that child. How else can we say this? That your selfish motives will not allow you. Graduation is on Friday. You tell the father of the child that it's on Saturday. Then on Friday, the father doesn't show up. And then you tell the child, I told your daddy. He's been running. He's after women. That's why he didn't show up. And the child knows that my graduation came, daddy didn't show up because he was chasing other women. But you have programmed that particular incident to make the child feel that the father hates the child. At the end of the day, you see God up there. He's watching. You cannot cheat him. You may think you're winning, but I guarantee you, on this God-created earth, whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Because it's Father's Day, I'm going to talk more on the father side. There's one thing I don't do, Pastor Fola. We have this tendency where when you're trying to address an issue, people say, what about? I'm not interested in that. When Jesus told Peter, lovest thou me, feed the lamb. Lovest thou me, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, you, Peter, follow me. You know what Peter said? Peter said, what about John? Jesus said, how does that concern you? Because I'm talking about fatherhood now. You know, some of you are thinking, what about mothers? What about mothers who sacrifice for children? That's a very stupid argument in your brain. It's like you go to a cardiologist and he's telling you, you need this for your heart. And what about my liver? You go to a nutritionist. Nutritionist say, you need a lot of protein. And what about carbohydrate? Are you saying that I should not take carbohydrate? It's a very stupid, unfruitful, in fact, demonic argument. Where you're trying to address, is that you're trying to address parenting. How parents should love their children. You say, what about stubborn children? What has that got to do with it? That topic is parenting and how parents should love children. So when you're talking about fatherhood, I know what they're already thinking. And what about mothers? Are you now saying that? Are you now saying that? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that. What do you expect a cardiologist to say? A cardiologist is talking about your heart. That's what he's saying. What do you want him to talk about? Your bones? He's not an orthopedic surgeon. He's a cardiologist. And it's become common practice where when you hear truth, you use the what about argument to negate it to feel comfortable. Because I'm talking now, you know what you're thinking? He doesn't know. My husband is a terrible man. He's saying that because he doesn't know. I know. One thing I know is that if you disconnect him from the children's life, you and the child will pay the price. That I know. So accept the truth first. Apply it. And then God will work out the rest. Take the nutritionist's advice first. Start eating fish and meat and egg. And then we'll now, when you go next to consult, go and consult about your carbohydrate intake. For today is Father's Day. When it's Mother's Day, you come for consultation and then we give you the one for mothers. That's how life functions. And it's made fathers to all over the world. You talk to fathers, there is this hidden depression they go through, but they cannot tell you. Because generally, okay. Number four, early psychology contributed. Number two, the social system. Number three, family court decisions. And number four, toxic feminism has contributed. This deception of the so-called independent strong woman. I don't need a man. I can raise the children all by myself. You're a fool. I usually don't use that word on the pulpit. But when I hear a woman say that, I say, you are a fool. Who told you you can raise a child alone? It's like a man also saying, I can raise the children without the mother. Really? When God created mother and father, and God in his infinite wisdom knows that it takes input from father and input from mother to raise a child. And you turn around and say, I can do it all by myself. Because in your mind, you're thinking that raising up children has to do with money. Because you can clothe them and feed them and send them to school. You think you're doing what? You can raise the children. No, you're just rearing them. You know how you rear chicken? Is that not what you do to chicken? You build a house for chicken? You feed chicken? You get medical treatment for chicken? That's what you do. That's not training a child. Most of us rear children. We don't train them. That's why you can make that statement. Because you don't understand that there's an input from the father or an input from the mother that produces a complete child. For you to stand up and say, I don't need the man, I don't need the woman, you don't know what you're talking about. And there's this toxic femininity going around which discounts the importance of men in the life of children. And society makes you to think that you're a winner when you do that. You can't. Because it's not a decision for you to make. For example, God created your body to take proteins, carbohydrates, fats and oil, vitamins. It is not your decision. Even if you hate protein, that's your business. Don't eat it, you will die. There are certain decisions human beings cannot make. God has already made them and established them in human living. You cannot change them. Ephesians 6, verse 2 to 3. What does Amplified say? Look at Amplified. Honor, esteem, value as precious your father and your mother. I love that. Value as precious. It's a commandment. Your who? Say it after me. What is this thing that teaches people to disrespect and dishonor fathers? You break a major commandment and you think you're winning? What is this thing that teaches people to disvalue or to devalue or to disrespect mothers? You think you're winning? Or even you as a man, you're polluting the minds of the children against their mother. You think you're winning? The Bible says honor father and mother. It didn't say just one, both. So do you honor your father? He didn't say honor them if they are good. Honor them if they have been good to my mother. Honor them if they have been good to my father. No. Honor father and mother. Watch, I complete it. It says, oh my God. And be respectful to them. I'm reading from the Amplified. This is the first commandment with a what? Promise. So that it may be well with you. Have you seen it? That is the conclusion of all the research I told you. Have you seen? So it may be well with you. Because now when you dishonor father, disconnected from father, it will not be well with you. Psychology told us that. All the statistics I read have told you that. God has already said, when you break that father-mother chain upon children, it will not be well with them. Listen to the way New Life Version puts it. New Life Version says, you will live a long time and your life will be full of many good things. Scripture, not me. Proverbs 1, verse 8 to 9 says, so my son, pay attention to your father's guardians and do not ignore what your mother taught you. Pay attention to your father's guardians and do not ignore what your mother taught you. Again, you see father and mother. Of course, it is Father's Day, but I'm trying to let you know, when it is Mother's Day, the same principles will apply, but in the side of mothers. You can now see anything that is trying to push you to disrespect and insult and disobey your mother, you already can see the consequence in that verse. The same applies. Those things that make you disrespect, dishonor, insult your father, you can see the consequence. It says your life will be full of many bad things, because it says when you honor and respect, your life will be full of many good things. It is a system God has established in the world, and we are breaking it and giving reasons and excuses. You know, one of the prophecies of the end times is the restoration of parent-children relationship, right? Okay. More so even father-children relationship. It's a major, because God knows. God has foresight. He knows that in the end times, because father-children relationship will be broken, it will create chaos upon the earth. And nothing can happen unless that thing is restored. So let me read for you, for those who really want to hear scripture. He says, Malachi 4:6, New Living Translation says, his preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Did you see that? So, if his preaching, that's why we're preaching like this, will turn the heart of children to fathers and the heart of fathers to children. Because the issue now is that you now have fathers whose hearts are not with the children. Their heart is with making money, chasing career, and establishing companies. But see, children are dying because there's an absence. So you can see that equation goes both ways. Because as a people of God, we must set this thing in order. I'm saying this so that any father listening to me, you would. I'm even saying this more to fathers. You might not have noticed it, because I'm showing you the importance you have as a father. So the moment you become a father, you already know I'm the most significant factor in the success of this child. You will not abandon responsibilities to the mother. You would know that she cannot substitute your influence. Then you will know that you may be making all the money, yeah. But then, that money you're making, that's a businessman of you. But as a father. So I'm saying these words today to current fathers and future fathers. And runaway fathers, all of them together. Titus 1:5, Paul says, put in order the things that are lacking. We have to put in order fatherhood. It is lacking on both sides. But the question now is, before you put it in order, you must first and foremost ask yourself a question. Where are the fathers? Listen. In other words, why do we have absent fathers? Is that a fair question? Number one is what I call self-choice. Number two is what I call work choice or professional choice. And number three is what I call partner choice. Listen, let's start with self-choice. Fatherhood has to do with all of you, spirit, soul, and body. Listen attentively to this. You cannot be a father with a part of you and then leave a part of you. As a father, your spirit fathers the children, your soul fathers the children, or your mind, your will, your emotions father the children, and your body, your physical presence also fathers the children. What you find is, at times, fathers have a selective part of which one fathers. So you can have a man who has one aspect present, but the other aspect missing. So let me explain this. Number one, self-choice. These are fathers who have decided they don't want to be fathers. Their job is they get you pregnant and they disappear. You don't see them anymore. They are absent spirit, absent soul, absent body. Spiritually, they are not there. Emotionally, they are not there. Physically, they are not there. They are gone. And you see a child, you see the woman struggling to connect to the man. He's nowhere to be found. Self-choice. He decided of himself not to be involved. I rebuke every such person hearing my voice. Because the judgment of God for such men is huge. A woman's womb is not a toy that you deposit seed and disappear. And then you say, the child will go and look for me. Yeah? Child, go and look for the father. If only you still be alive. And some of these children, when they have succeeded now, you see the old man coming. Self-choice. Not because the woman has done nothing wrong. Amazing woman. Beautiful child. But the man is just a stupid man that has no sense of anything. He's gone. In other words, they left by their own accord. Second is work choice. Work choice are fathers who are absent because of their profession. In the work choice father, he's present in spirit. He's present, his soul is there, his emotions are there. But you see, they have sent him to Ukraine to go and fight. They have sent him to Iraq to go and fight. He's in the military, so they have sent him to Germany for 6 months. See, he will be absent, won't he? Physically absent, the body is absent. However, he ought to be present spirit and emotionally. But I call that work-related absence. Your mother still, it happens for the women who are in professions that also. It could be your mother who is in the armed forces. They have sent her to Japan for 1 year training. She's not there, but she has to be there spiritually. Paul says, I'm absent in body, but I'm present in spirit. That is why I don't care. If you are absent for work-related reasons, remember that the first step of parenting is spiritual. It's not physical. Cover the spiritual ground. Pray for them. Bless them. If you can make phone calls, do video calls, keep the emotional connection going, even if you are not physically present. Because the absence is professionally related. Diplomats have the same situation. You can be here today and you get a phone call from the presidency. You're going to Canada for 6 months as a diplomat and your flight is booked for tomorrow. I hope you know that if your father is a diplomat, tomorrow he's gone. Or if your mother is the ambassador, they have sent her to China and they want her to resume on Tuesday. I hope you know that your mother, you were planning dinner on Wednesday. Tuesday, she's flying to China. So professions can make parents to be absent. But the thing now which I don't cover in this sermon is how to mitigate that. That's not the purpose. I'm just trying to show you why some fathers are absent. And the third reason why some fathers are absent is partner choice. You know what partner choice is? Partner choice is, means the woman send them away. That's partner choice. So, the question which you must always ask is, did the father leave? Or was he sent away? Never you forget that question. You know what I just said? I said, did he leave or was he sent away? Because we have a culture that is very, and because we also have a system where it's very easy to send a man out, just make a silly complaint, get the police involved, and he's gone. And in this situation, he was sent away. Some cases, you have valid reasons. If the man is violent and all those kind of things, that's different. I don't want us to look at extremes today. I just want us to look at the simple facts that accompany my thought pattern. Don't become very complex. Is someone listening to me? Okay. There is a book, Wilson, published in 2000. He titled the book, Where's Daddy? Right? Where's Daddy? The Mythologies Behind Custody Access Support. And this is one of his conclusions. He said, 90% of father disengagement is caused by obstruction of access by a custodial parent anxious to break the father-child ties. So at times, the difficulty of access as a father is a result of the other partner affecting the relationship. The reason I'm saying this is because I want us to get to that level where fatherhood is restored. And for you as a father, if you understand your responsibilities, the greatest gift you can give your child is to be a father. It's not your money. You can give money, but you're not a father. And some of you, that's how your father was. Anything you need, he gives, but he was not there for you. And you can now see the consequences of that, can't you? So let's close by emphasizing six responsibilities of fathers. And this is where I want every boy, every man, every uncle, every nephew, every brother, every son to pay close attention. Because if you ever intend to be a father, these are six responsibilities you must understand and pray that God will give you the grace to fulfill them. Number one responsibility, creative power. Someone say creative power. Number two, say covering of blessing. Say covering of presence. Number three, carriers of blessings. Number four, conveyors of identity. Number five, channels of self-esteem. And number six, content creators. Now let's start with the first one, creative power. You know the word father in Hebrew, Abba, actually means source and sustainer. You are the source. And human beings are basically spirits before they are physical. Man is a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. Man is a spirit. What you see now is not me. That's my house. It's my body. The day I die, this thing you're seeing will remain on the earth, dust unto dust. The real me is inside. You know that, don't you? Good. So you need now to understand that when, because man is spirit, it means your child also is spirit. So parenting starts with what? In the spirit. That's why I said the first responsibility is creative power. Your ability as a father to generate spiritual power over the life of the child. That will enable that child to succeed and prosper. That's why one of the primary responsibilities of a father, you have to pray for the children. But guess what has happened? Society has produced prayerless men. Prayerless fathers. And so when a father is planning for the child, prayers is usually the last thing he thinks about, right? Okay, this one is for savings, for school, for university. This one is investments. Yes, thank you for that. I accept that. But the thing I'm saying is, the first responsibility you have as a father is creative power. You must generate creative power in the place of the spirit over that child. Your ability to present that child before God in the place of prayer. Scripture says Elijah was a man of like passion. He prayed. Amplified says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much and does what? Makes tremendous power available. So wherever your child goes, that child carries tremendous power generated by the prayers of the father. Oh, I don't know how to pray. No, you know how to pray. Leave up. Father, I thank you for my son, John. I pray that no evil will touch him. Whoever desires evil against him, God will disgrace that person. Even if you're a drunkard, pray that prayer. Whatever it takes, you don't know how to pray. Call the child's name and just say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, my child's in the university. University of Liverpool, in Jesus' name, I bless my child in you. Amen. Do something. Open your mouth. Because in the spirit realm is waiting to harvest the prayer of the father to release it upon the child. Second responsibility, covering of presence. What did I say? Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Just the fact that the father is in the house, there is covering in that home. Can I surprise you? Even if you think he's doing nothing. You didn't hear what I just said. The presence of a father carries with it cover. Someone didn't. I know you haven't gotten that point yet. I know it. I'm saying just the fact that there's a father in a house, it keeps away a lot of demons from that house. Just his physical presence. I'm not even yet looking at his ability to provide. Because you see, fatherhood doesn't have just one advantage. The thing is that we have reduced everything to financial. So because he doesn't have money, say, what's he doing? He's a useless man. He has no value in this house. Let him go. Oh, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. Some of you, you had dogs that can't even bark. But just for people to, they say dog in that house. There are some people it will scare because some people are not afraid of dogs. Even if the dog doesn't bite, even if you tell the person, no, that dog doesn't bite, go there. He says, no, as long as it's a dog, I'm not going. That is the same thing I'm talking about. what I call the covering of presence. Just him being there. That your daughter can come and say, Daddy, good afternoon, and go in. And say, Daddy, I'm going somewhere. Okay, my daughter, God bless you, go. That alone. What are we talking about in this generation? Presence? That you can travel knowing that, okay, the father is at home with them. And in your mind, they have programmed us to think that if the man doesn't make loads of money, he has no value. Whoever told you that the primary value of a father is financial prosperity? That's a blessing for every human being. But when it comes to fatherhood, what makes a father is not the money he has. Because if it's the money, then all the rich people should be the best fathers. Again, it doesn't mean that the father should be poor, but I'm telling you, when you use money to judge fatherhood, you'll be in real trouble. Then don't complain when the man makes all the money and he's never at home. Because that's what you wanted. Let us learn to appreciate the men who stay. T.D. Jakes made a statement that really blessed me. He said, when they stay, I'm going to paraphrase, when they stay, we don't value them. When they go, we curse them. Number three, fathers are conveyors of identity. They are what? Genesis 35 verse 18. This is a powerful verse. Genesis 35 verse 18, Amplified says, and as her, that's talking about Rachel. You know when Rachel was giving birth to the last child? And as Rachel's soul was departing, for she died, she named him Benoni, son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Did you see that? Oh, Jesus. As the mother was dying, she called him what? She gave an identity to the child. All that identity, sorrow. What did the father do? The father says no. Changed it and gave a different identity. Benjamin, son of my right hand. My question is, what if there was no father in that house? You didn't hear what I said. Because you see how the pain of a woman can destroy the child? Because by nature, immature women transfer their pain to their children. Because the things you are telling them, thinking you want them to take your side, you're transferring your pain and destroying them. But you don't know. There are certain things you don't tell a child. But because you want to win their favor, you're pumping your sorrow into them. You're shaping their identity with your sorrow and with your experience. What I'm saying is too deep for some of you to catch. But the father says no, because fatherhood conveys identity. You want to see another example? Go to Jabez. What happened to Jabez? What happened to Jabez? 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. It says the mother called him. Let me read it for you. Let me read it from the Living Bible. Jabez was more distinguished than any of his brothers after he sorted the problem. Now see where it starts. It says, his mother named him Jabez because she had such a hard time at his birth. Jabez means what? Distress. Another version says it means what? Sorrow. It means what? Pain. Can you now see again another mother now is transferring her pain on the child? Are you seeing that? And there was no father in this house. So guess what happened to the boy? He took God as his father to uproot that identity and bless him. Listen, I cannot even argue this point with anybody. I can show you. Let me even go to the almighty Queen Bathsheba. Almost destroyed the kingdom by the same principle. Almost gave it to Adonijah at the expense of Solomon. Because an immature woman hasn't understood that your personal pain and trouble should be non-transferable to the child. But we transfer it. And all through scripture. One time, John the Baptist was born. So the father couldn't speak. Remember the story? The father couldn't speak. So they went to the mother and says, his name is Zacharias. The mother said, no, the name is John. You know, the people understood. This John, we don't know why she's giving his name John. They went to the father. They said, what is his name? He wrote John. The moment he gave that identity, they took it up. That was John. Let me advise women something. Stop fighting the input of the father in the child because you think that you know better. Because at times, there's one thing that I don't know. You see, to have a father, let me give you an example. You know, at times, some of the problem we have with fatherhood is that they're not available. Most married women, you know that, right? So you spend the time alone. They don't have time to even bond with the children. They don't have time to bond with the children. They don't have time to spend with the children. And then you come back and then you see the father playing with the children. And see what the woman did. You are scattering the house. Stop this, you're playing. I cannot tidy it and you scatter it. So, according to you, tidying the house is more important than a father playing with the children. When you know that this is the greatest thing that happened, they are bonding, they're interacting, but you're more concerned on the fact that the sofas are upside down. So, he shouldn't interact with them, right? He says, I want to take them to the park. He says, no. Take them, brother, to the movie. Are you both father and mother? I told you before that I'm going to say things that people, most people cannot say, didn't I? Number 5, channels of self-esteem. Research in psychology, powerful. If you Google it, you'll see. When I was doing this study, the number of articles that came up on this one was even so much. There is an established link between the self-esteem of a girl and her relationship with her father. Established link. That means as a young girl, your self-esteem is so much connected to the link between you and your father. Because fathers are conveyors or transmitters of self-esteem. One of the studies, see what it concluded by saying. It says, women who grew up with a positive relationship with their father handle emotional challenges better. Let me say that again. Women who grew up with a positive relationship with their fathers handle emotional challenges better. See what it also says. It says, and they respond to situations in emotionally healthy ways. Additionally, a skewed view of father can cause problems with relationships. That means your relationship with your father will predict a lot of things on how you relate with men. Facts. I don't have time to give you all the journals. You can go read them yourself. It's not university town. Go to the library and look at it. Because in a way, your father is your first male relationship. In a way, your father is actually your first husband. In quotes. First boyfriend. In quotes. And so, that relationship is going to frame your mindset. There are so many things you're struggling with now in marriage. Not really because of the fault of your husband. It's because that absent father created a vacuum. And let me say this. A husband cannot solve the trauma of an absent father. A wife cannot solve the trauma of an absent mother. Never you forget what I just said. And so there are certain wounds you carry created by absent father. Husband won't heal it. Go to God to heal it. And because of this, it therefore means that you must never insult a child's father in front of the child. Never do that. Because you see, there's a mystery connecting that child, that child's self-esteem to the father. So when you destroy the, it's like a mirror. That's why when you go places, for example, you know, at times people treat you, at times, okay, let me put it this way. The type of father you have can determine how some people treat you. If your father is the governor and you go anywhere, there's a certain treatment you get because of that. Is someone listening to me? And so you need to understand that human beings connect their self-esteem to their father. And so if they see their father as a failure, as a bad man, as a terrible man, what is happening that they start seeing their linkage to failure? It affects their self-esteem. So while you're doing that, you don't have an idea. And that is why it is difficult to have a positive image of self if your father maltreated you. Very difficult. And I tell people as a father, and for all fathers listening to me, please, the worst thing you can think of doing is to abuse your child. That's the worst crime. Because not only are fathers give identity and self-esteem, they are also carriers of blessings. What did Genesis say? Genesis 49 verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is how their father spoke to them and blessed them, giving each his own individual blessing. Fathers carry blessings. I tell people it doesn't matter. Hear me clearly, every father, bless your children. And let me say this to every child. Get your father's blessing if it is possible. Hey, my father is a drunkard. He's a womanizer. I don't care. When you're going to get married, go to him. Let the drunkard bless you. You're going to university. Go and say, Papa, I'm going to university. Even if you met him with another woman. He said, ah, my daughter, you prosper. Go, you graduate. Amen. Take the blessing and go and prosper. Don't sit down and be looking at his lifestyle. His lifestyle has nothing to do with his blessing. Hey, my father is an irresponsible man. He may be responsible, but his blessing is not irresponsible. You see Noah, irresponsible man, but he opened his, a drunkard like Noah, opened his mouth, blessed Japheth and what's the other one? Shem. Did they prosper? He cursed. Was he cursed? Was he not a drunkard? Be careful. I give you another, when Hannah went to the temple, you see the kind of pastor she had? That called her Eli, but told the woman, a prayerful intercessor, say, you this drunken woman. If you were the one, you said that the devil is speaking to the pastor. But because the pastor stood there as an authority figure, as a father figure, because we don't know who Hannah's father was, he says, go by this same time next. God hear your prayer. Did she get pregnant? Which child did she give birth to? Be careful. Be careful. I can show you other instances of foolish men, but when they utter words, hear me clearly, when you utter a word of blessing as a father, you may not even know how to pray. You may be the most useless man, but just say, Father, my son is going to this. My son started a business. God, I'm not a good person, but bless that boy. Just say that, leave the rest for God. All the spirit them want to hear is a blessing upon the child. That's why the last thing you must do as a father is to curse a child. Ah, you cannot do that. You can't do that. And I say this also to for those of you who think that because daddy is not a good man, therefore, no, if it is possible. You know, some fathers are very difficult. Whatever you do, they are not interested. But attempt it first. Am I talking to someone? I know what I'm talking about. That's why I gave you the example of Noah. Give his example. You want many more examples? They're all in scripture. All in scripture. Even a crooked man like Laban, who was acting like the father of Rachel and Leah. A crooked man like Laban, when the girls were going, he blessed them. They went and had the tribes of Israel. the 12 tribes of Israel also were contributed by the blessing of Laban, a crooked man. Okay. Content creator. Fathers are teachers. You must create the content. You must understand the kind of things you need to teach your children. Listen, children must be taught. In this generation, they learn all kind of rubbish, both in school, on TV, everywhere, on Instagram, on Snapchat. So you need to know the trend that society is taking your children and then get a counter content you can teach them. Look at what scripture says in Ephesians 6 verse 4. It says, fathers, do not be hard on your children, so they will become angry. Did you hear that? Fathers, do not be what? Listen, man. You are not a good father because you're hard. You know those fathers? I don't know if some of you had those fathers where when he leaves the office and starts coming home, he's 2 miles away, but you can hear the sound of his car. He's coming. Somehow in the spirit, when he's coming, you pick it. And in that 5 minutes, you will take your bath, you tidy the house, you get out your books, sit on the table, and you're reading before he comes in. Because woe betide you if he comes and you are not like that. They are terrorists. They are not fathers. Some of you had very good fathers. God bless you. Some people had... it is well with the righteous. So, okay. I've listed my 6 things. I'm going to close here. We have book launch. So, what I try to do today is to let you know the value. It's all right. I'll get it. Thank you. The battle for fatherhood, and to encourage you to pray for all the father figures in your life, biological fathers, spiritual fathers. Pray for your sons that when they become fathers, they will know what their responsibilities are. Pray for your uncles. Pray for your husbands. Pray. Just let us take today and do what? And just bless fathers. Celebrate fathers. They have their weaknesses, but don't magnify it. They have their struggles. It is well. They have their difficulties. No problem. They have their stories that you may have never even heard. You may be judging them based on an assumption that was fed to you by a false story. So be very careful. And if those who don't have fathers, it's not the problem. God is your father. And second, get someone who can act like a father figure in your life. That's why at times when you go to church, at the end of the sermon, the pastor can decide to bless you with a fatherly blessing. That's the job. Because God always has a way to make up what people don't have. Mm. That's why church is also a family. It means you can have fathers in church. You can have mothers in church. Can't you? Yes. You can have. And they will substitute for the absent fathers or the absent mothers. That's why the church is a pillar to support society, to strengthen society. Ladies and gentlemen, I say all of this to say, fathers are a blessing. Say after me, fathers,
fathers
are a blessing. And I receive that blessing. Rise up on your feet. I know it was a very difficult sermon. I know already. But my purpose is to encourage society to restore respect back to fatherhood. Encourage fathers to stand up and begin to fulfill their responsibilities over their children. Pray for the children. Bless them. Give them a self-esteem. Encourage them. Be a good blessing upon their lives. Yes, Lord. I release the blessing of a father upon everyone in this place. Where there has been absent fatherhood, we call for the restoration. Where there has been the consequences of absent fatherhood by the blood and by the mercy, we seal those access routes. We declare today that your hand will rise upon every father, wherever they are. For those who have run away, we command them to come back. In the name of Jesus. Let the blessing of every father create impact in the life of the children. Strengthen the hand of every father. Not just the ones who are currently fathers, even the future fathers. Open our eyes to see the value of fatherhood and to make sure nothing happens to affect how we execute those responsibilities. Father, let everyone in this place who has a child or who intends to have a child, give them the strength and the grace to father those children, to pray for them, to give them direction, to teach them, to give them an identity, to let them know that you love them. For they bear the title that only you bear compared to what you reveal to man, fatherhood. You taught your disciples how to pray, and you said, when you want to pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Father, some of us may not have had good parents. Some of us may not have had good fathers. They may have done things that impacted us negatively. But we come to you today with our spirits, with our souls, and with our body. Whatever has been planted in us, take it away. Whatever has been causing confusion, Lord, take it away. Heal, deliver, restore. In the name of Jesus. Even as we declare your hand upon every father, the blessing of the Holy Ghost, the blessing of the Father, the blessing of the Son, rest upon every father. Lift your name.